Sorry. Vampire's honor. I crashed the car. And it's a good thing I found you. Or you might have been someone else's vampire me by now. What were you thinking, taking a car out in the night like that? That's the second time you've wrecked a car this month. If you ever borrow mine, I'd be sure to add more insurance. My head. Kalina moans softly. I feel like... Like you've just crashed a car? Jaeger chuckled. Yeah, exactly. I was... upset. You and your lover have a fight? Jaeger stood up and began pacing around the room. I don't want to talk about it, said Kalina. It's none of your business anyway. I should call Stuart. Let him know. She thought of Stuart, and her face fell. How could she speak to him after the fight they'd had that night? Shame spread across her cheeks in an uneven blush. What happened? Jaeger let his hands lightly brush Kalina's shoulder. I'm not so sure I like being special, said Kalina, being protected. Well, you picked the wrong vampires to hang around then. Where are we anyway? We're in Carmel, at a friend's summer house. Funny, vampires have summer houses too, considering they don't like the sun. We're in the basement. I'd rather avoid the UV rays if I can help it. He cupped her face. Tans don't suit me. Why are you being so nice to me? He sat at the foot of her bed. Where would be the fun, the tension, if you're already out of the game? What's a game of cat and mouse without the mouse? Ew. She swatted him away. You can recoil, said Jaeger. Now I know you're improving. The room at last came into focus. Kalina thought back to the events leading up to this moment. The fight, the crash, Maeve, her discovery. The memories flooded her brain. Against herself, she winced. Why did you do it? She said.
Do what?
Drink from Maeve? She propped herself up on her elbows. I mean, why are you so nice to me, and then how could you do something so horrible to her?
Who says I did?
Kalina gasped. You did! Of course! Did I? Jaeger smiled at her.
Think back.
No, he had never come right out and said it. But she had accused him, and he had not contradicted her. She had assumed.
I believe, Miss Kalina, that you said it.
I don't understand. Why did you let me...
You believed what you wanted to believe of me,
Jaeger said coolly, rising and striding about the room.
You wanted to believe the worst of me, so you did. So I let you. I might as well have, in any case. I am a vampire. I will not be tamed, Kalina, by you or anyone else.
I am not trying to tame you, Kalina shot back. But if you hurt my friends, I can promise you I will stake you.
100 years ago, said Jaeger, I would have had no compunction about hurting your friends.
So what changed?
Aaron,
said Jaeger.
And you?
And me? Jaeger sighed heavily.
I find that I do not wish to hurt you.
He drew in breath.
Make of that what you will.
The stillness in the air was uncomfortable. Kalina almost found herself wishing that he would go back to teasing her again, that they could go back to the pleasant normalcy of their rivalry and banter. Do you love me? She asked him.
Don't be ridiculous, said Jaeger, a beat too quickly. Vampires do not love.
Do you want me?
Yes.
The simplicity of it, elemental and primal, astounded her. It had been so difficult with Stuart, the way he always pulled away, the way he always stopped, the way he guarded her purity with such fanatical self-restraint. She laughed weakly. I'm 17. I've got 2 mind-blowingly gorgeous vampires fighting over me. And for this spell to work, I'm supposed to remain a virgin.
Life's so hard sometimes, said Jaeger.
Jaeger? She leaned in.
What?
If I wanted to, you know, would you?
Do you want to?
His eyes took on a mysterious shimmer. That's not the question. I'm just asking if.
Am I a red-blooded vampire or not? Said Jaeger. Don't ask such ridiculous questions. Especially when they're so tantalizing.
He reached out for her,
She pushed him away. I don't want to, she said sharply. I just wanted to know.
Not satisfied at home?
It isn't like that.
Not getting what you need, as they say on the cover of women's magazines.
No, it isn't that.
What then?
I just want to drink your blood, Kalina said, simply.
What?
Jago rounded on her. I saw the effect it has when a human and vampire share blood, and you can't drink mine, and I'm injured, you said it yourself, and vampire blood heals. Well, I want to try yours.
Jager considered her, amused. What a very forward request. Some vampires would have you killed for such audacity.
Will you do it or not? She couldn't explain what it was she felt. She only wanted to know what it was Maven Stewart had known, to know what it was that was denied her.
Very well, said Jager.
His teeth flashed in the lamplight.
If you insist.
He held his own wrist to his mouth and bit in deeply into the flesh. She could see the dark veins open up and the blood fall in a gentle trail down his forearm. Do I just...
Do what feels natural.
She took his wrist and pressed it gingerly to her lips. Like this?
Your body will tell you what to do.
I don't think it's telling me... She stopped. She had inhaled the scent of his blood. Vibrant. Deep. Like musk and vanilla. As dark and aromatic as Arabian coffee. Her mind closed instantly. Rational thought evaporated. She could not think. She could only feel. Feel a desire to consume as strong and overpowering as anything she had ever felt. She felt the taste of his blood on her tongue. She felt his flesh cold and tantalizing on her lips. And then she was sucking it down. Tenderly, at first. And then in ecstatic gulps. And she was aware of nothing but the taste of him in her. And the taste filled her mouth and her throat. The lining of her stomach. The space in her ribcage. Burning in her blood. Flowing down to her fingers. He pulled away.
That's enough,
he said. She looked up. My God, she whispered. That's amazing. Something between guilt and ecstasy flooded her.
Any more and you'll hurt me.
Rationality returned to her. Oh, God.
Kalina.
His voice had grown soft now. Even kind.
Are you all right? Was it all right?
I don't know, she said. It was intense.
When a human and vampire feed off each other, it creates a kind of psychic connection. So don't be surprised if you feel something, drawing you, at first.
So, there had been something between Stewart and Maeve, even if they themselves had not been aware of it. Her heart leaped in her mouth. I know, she said. Stewart, he had to feed from my friend, from Maeve. He gave her his blood, and then he had to drink from her when he was attacked. Jager's kindness vanished. His face darkened with jealousy.
I see,
he said.
So you wanted to even the score.
His voice grew cold. Kalina flushed. I don't see you complaining, she said. Anyway, the pain in my leg has gone.
He couldn't help but laugh. You're a feisty woman, Kalina. You're wasted on my brother. You're strong.
He's strong, she said. She thought of him with Maeve, and gulped.
Strong enough to resist doing all sorts of things I'd be more than happy to oblige with doing. He stopped. I won't ask you again,
he said.
And despite what you may think of me, I'd certainly never force you. I used compulsion on you, yes, before I came to know you. I've used compulsion on many women in my past. But I don't want you like that. I like you best like you are now. Your strength, your passion, your life. I like a woman who isn't afraid to stand up to me. I need a woman like that.
He touched her hair lightly.
I will never use compulsion on you. I promise you that much. Vampire's honor. But, on that matter, you know where I stand. But, if you ever change your mind, now that you've tasted vampire blood, you know where to find me.
I'm dating your brother, Kalina said quietly.
Are you? He sighed. Yes, For now. Let's get you back. I'll drive.
He drove her back the following evening. She had texted Justin, told him she was staying with Maeve. She had no such contact with Stuart or Maeve, although she received a series of text messages from them. She knew she'd have to say something, as they pulled up to Greystone Wineries. She couldn't imagine what. Stuart raced out to meet them the second he saw Jaeger's car.
"What the hell are you doing here?"
he hissed to Jaeger.
"Haven't you ruined enough already?"
He caught sight of Kalina and stopped.
"Kalina, are you all right? I called a couple of times, but you didn't pick up."
He took her hands in his.
"God, Kalina, I'm so, so sorry."
He pressed them tightly to his lips. She thought of the taste of Jaeger's blood and could not look at him.
"I promise you, nothing happened. Nothing would ever have happened."
He looked up.
"Jaeger, what the hell have you done to her?"
"It's fine," said Kalina. "He helped me. I crashed my family car. He helped me get better."
"He helped you get..."
He turned to face Jaeger.
"You didn't. Tell me you didn't." "She asked. Besides, looks like you already found someone willing to drink your blood." "That's not the..."
"Kalina, did you?" "You told me it would help, if a human is injured," Kalina said, instinctively on the defensive. "It was fine when you did it to Maeve. It was fine when she did it to you."
"That's different,"
Stuart sighed.
"With Jaeger..." "I do have a habit of my beating you to women,"
Jaeger said lightly.
"Like Mary Lee, for example." "Don't you mention her name."
Stuart's voice had become a roar.
"Don't you dare mention her name, after all you've done, after what happened to Father." "Time to face the facts, little brother," said Jaeger. "You'll never have what I have, and I believe you'll find your girlfriend feels the same way."
"I do not," said Kalina, hotly. But they could not hear her. They were lost in an argument that had gone on, without her, for centuries.
"I want you out of here," cried Stuart. "I just saved your girlfriend's life, if she even is your girlfriend."
"I am," said Kalina. Stuart could not resist any longer. He struck Jaeger clean across the face, his rage giving him strength. In his eyes, Kalina saw the power that he had so long been resisting, the dark force he had tried so hard to suppress. In its elemental fury, his passion was stronger, even than Jaeger's. He had starved it for so long that it came out in the full force of its hunger. Jaeger fell back, stunned.
"You're stronger than I remember, little brother. But don't get too cocky. Remember, I am still your elder, and you're better."
He shoved Stuart back down to the ground. Kalina had enough.
"Fine,"
she said. "You guys fight it out. But when you're done, come find me. I'll be inside." And with that, she stormed into the house. Chapter 16. The first thing Kalina saw when she went back inside the house was the man sitting in the chair. He was extraordinarily handsome and reminded Kalina of the broad-shouldered, half-naked men on the covers of romance novels. He was in his mid to late 20s, tall, with long jet-black hair and a deep tan, far darker than a normal vampire. His muscles were strong, even sinewy, hidden beneath the perfectly tailored folds of an Italian suit. He looked rich, powerful. He sat in the armchair like a man of bearing, perfectly poised, waiting for her. His long fingers were touched together in a steeple. His eyes were piercing and gray, the color of a sword's blade.
"I've been waiting for you, Kalina," he said.
"How did you know my..." She stopped. Vampires knew everything, and from the cruel glimmer in his eye, she had a feeling that he was one of them.
"Never mind. What do you want?"
He had to be a vampire. There was no way anyone else could sneak past Stuart and Jaeger unnoticed, even in the midst of their fighting. They guarded that house with their lives. It contained all their secrets.
"I warn you, I have a stake." "What a way to treat an old family friend."
He gave her a look of shock.
"Really? Where are your manners?"
"Where's your letter of introduction?" she shot back. "I don't talk to strangers." He looked her up and down. She could feel his eyes burning into her.
"So,"
he said softly, his lips curling around the words,
You're the girl causing all this trouble around here. All the little Greystone boys up in arms over you. I haven't seen this much fighting since Helen of Troy. Now that was really a war.
Shock spread across her face.
Oh, you know I'm only joking. The Trojan War was before my time. Not by much. The Battle of Actium was more my style.
Ancient Rome. Her voice trailed off. Octavius! Stuart had spoken to her many times of Octavius, of his band of mercenaries. He was the one responsible for turning Stuart, Jaeger, and their father into vampires, recruiting them into eternal life in exchange for eternal servitude, the one who had saved them from the Black Death, but who in the end had not been able to save them from themselves. "I thought you released them," she said. "For good service. What do you want with them now?"
"Who says I want them now?" said Octavius.
He inhaled deeply, his nostrils alighting on her scent.
"Life's blood,"
he breathed.
"I love it when a woman smells as good as she looks. It's a good guide to how she tastes."
Kalina took a step back.
"Delicious," he pronounced.
Kalina tried to search for Stuart or Jaeger out of the corner of her eyes, but she could catch no glimpse of them. Her heart began pounding in her chest. Were they still fighting? Or had something happened? No, she couldn't think about that now. She tried to remain calm.
"What are you doing here?" she asked him, trying to muster up more ferocity than she felt.
"What am I doing here?" Octavia sighed. "Why, my dear, I am here merely out of simple curiosity. So many vampires have been hunting for years, searching for that very special virgin who carries life's blood. It's been centuries since we've had another like you, my dear. Those rings your two lovers wear, some of the most precious gems in the business. Some vampires, like your precious Stuart and that dear boy Aaron, wish to become human again. Others have more ambitious goals. They want to become invincible. That taint of evil that comes with it. Well, it is a price one might pay."
Kalina kept her eyes steady on Octavius. "And which category do you fall into?" she asked. She had a feeling she already knew the answer.
"Oh, years ago when I first became a vampire. This was during the time of the first Caesar. A great, great man, if a proud one. I would have died to become mortal again."
He laughed at his little joke.
"I was still a human, you see, in many ways. I still loved my fiancée, Drusilla, she was called. And she was beautiful. And I was meant to marry her, and the night before I was to crown her with orange blossoms and carry her over my doorstep, I grew turned."
"I'm sorry," said Kalina.
"Don't be. She killed herself after the shock of my condition. She did not bother to stay, to listen to me, to hear what I had to say. For I loved her then, despite what had happened to me. She merely took the coward's way out. And I learned then that there is a great difference between humans and vampires. Humans are cowardly. Vampires are brave. Vampires are predators. Humans are prey."
"And now you are a full vampire?"
"My heart is hardened," said Octavius. "As well it must be. And now I serve without mercy. Without regret."
Kalina couldn't help gulping.
"Maybe for a pretty thing like you I might change my ways," said Octavius, with a wry grin. "But you seem to be deciding among enough Greystones already." "Oh, I'm not all bad. I don't think I'm bad at all. My opponents would say otherwise. But I do what I believe is right, under my laws, my rules."
"I think I have enough suitors already," Kalina said, her voice trembling. "And don't try to use compulsion on me. I know that trick."
"Compulsion is for vampires too young to have mastered their more natural charms."
Octavius smiled.
"I know you're attracted to me. Don't be shy. I'm a vampire. It's in my nature to attract."
"And to destroy?" Kalina said, deflecting the question. Her hormones were out of control enough already. She didn't need to be in a room of powerfully seductive vampires to make it worse.
"Oh, I've done all that," said Octavius. "I have turned hundreds of men, perhaps even 1,000, into vampires. I've crushed them of their lives, stolen their potential to be human, what their lives might have been. Births, marriages, deaths, children, love, sunlight. Without a second thought,
And after thousands of years on this earth, can you imagine how many humans I've taken to satisfy my thirst? Can you even guess?
I'd rather not, said Kalina. She thought it was rather time to chalk him up wholeheartedly to the bad side of the column, all things considered.
And I've been searching for you, or for someone like you, for ages. I even told the Greystone brothers my suspicions, that a carrier of life's blood was to be born in this area. How else do you think that slobbering young boyfriend of yours first found you?
Aaron? What does Aaron have to...
I turned him, after all, as a favor to his poor, beautiful mother, who could not bring herself to do it. And so he owed me his existence, and with it, his loyalty. Of course, poor, confused boy. He rather messed up my instructions. I instructed him to find the life's blood and bring her to me. Not to fall in love with her himself. Not to protect her. Not to seek her humanity. But you're dangerous that way, Kalina. Once a vampire knows there's lifeblood in your veins, flowing through like a torrent of fire, he will never be able to look at you the same way again. You are the holder of such power. One drop can give a vampire the ability to walk in the sun without burning. That's pure humanity traveling through your veins. Don't pride yourself, girl. Every vampire you meet will likely fall in love with you. Or rather, with what you can give them.
You killed Aaron, didn't you? Kalina shot up. When he didn't bring me to you.
I would never do such a thing, said Octavius, raising an eyebrow. But my underlings are very protective of me, and of my honor. If provoked, who knows what they might do? Vampires who are disloyal are punished. And I have thousands of followers out there who are willing to teach the young pup a lesson in just what disloyalty means.
What do you want with me? Said Kalina, remembered what Stuart had said. If all seemed lost, it was better to kill herself than to let a vampire take her life's blood, and shuddered. She prayed that Jaeger, or Stuart, would come in at any moment.
What a heartbreaker you are, he said. To gain the love of one Greystone brother, but all three? What qualities might you possess? I've wanted to drink from you for centuries. I've dreamed of it. Life's blood.
And become evil? All-powerful? Is that it? Kalina's fingers tensed on her stake, but she knew already it would be no match for him.
Don't be so cynical, my darling. Perhaps you'll fall in love with me, and your blood will make me human again.
He almost looked sincere. Kalina rolled her eyes. Listen, she said, her voice shaking. I've had enough vampires trying to get into my pants for one day, so you'll excuse me if I'm not exactly interested.
What a situation you're in, said Octavius. If you give your blood freely, chastely, with love, your love will become human. But if he is not your love, he will become your worst nightmare, the most evil, decadent creature you could imagine, with your blood. What a terrible decision to make. And which will you choose? The good one, or the dangerous one? I tell you which one I choose. Although it doesn't matter, in any case. I'd have to kill him.
Kalina swallowed. Hard.
Or, you could avoid the situation altogether. Instead of driving the brothers further apart, instead of forfeiting their undead lives, why not first consider the alternative?
Kalina looked up.
Me.
You want me to be your lover? Kalina shuddered. Or your food?
Just my servant for now, said Octavius. My feeder. I believe your blood must still ripen first. I don't want to taste you just yet. What a waste it would be, like opening a wine before it's matured. I'd want to keep you until then, and when you're old enough, I dare say you will come to my bed on your own.
How dare you? Kalina stood up, her fear forgotten in her rage. How dare you? First you killed Aaron, and then you have the gall to... Octavius rose, his voice chilling with calm.
Think about it, he said. But I warn you, you haven't got long.
He vanished. Chapter 17. What had happened to Stuart and Jaeger? The moment Octavius had vanished, Kalina bolted, calling their names into the night sky. Octavius wouldn't have just left her like that, not without having something up his sleeve, not without knowing. And why hadn't they come to find her? Their faces both appeared before her. Her heart beat strongly with love for both of them, and she could not tell herself in the madness of her tears, her running, the beating of her heart, which one of them she loved more. She ran outside to where Jaeger's car lay parked. She gasped. She could see that something had happened there. Some fight, some terror. Pieces of clothing laid strewn around the glade. She recognized Jaeger's shirt, stained with blood. Alongside it, she saw Stuart's jacket, lying torn. The plantings of the vineyards had been flattened, whole lines of grapes raised and even burned to the ground. Something terrible had happened here.
"Stuart!"
she called out.
"Jaeger!"
She ran through the night.
"Where are you?"
Only her own voice answered her, echoing back through the expanses of vineyard.
"Where are you?"
Tears filled her throat.
"Please answer me! Someone! Anyone!"
At the thought that anyone could be Octavius, she cupped her hand over her mouth. She closed her eyes and prayed, trying to remember the prayer she had recited with her rosary as a child. She wasn't sure it would do much good for vampires, but even Stuart had spoken to her of the power of belief. She heard a groan in the distance. She raised her eyes heavenwards and whispered out a thank you.
"I'm coming!"
she called. The groan grew louder as she followed the sound, through thickets of trees and vast expanses of vine. She made her way through the labyrinth of thorns and sounds, trying to find the voice, the speaker, praying it would not be too late.
"Jaeger!"
He was stripped to the waist, bound to a wooden stake in the earth. His bare chest was covered with bruises and cuts, his marble tones uncharacteristically sullied by brown, ugly welts.
"Jaeger!"
Kalina rushed over to him.
"What happened? Who did this?"
"Don't touch the ropes," he murmured. "Acid."
"Were these Octavius's men?"
"Some goons. 7 to 8 of them came at me right when I was distracted by Stuart. I staked 2 of them, but they overpowered me. They had to be Octavius's men. They were well trained."
He nodded, wincing at the rope against his flesh. She could hear the sizzle of flesh underneath them and felt sick.
"I've got a pocket knife," she said, rummaging through her bags. "Like a Boy Scout," she said. "Always come prepared."
He laughed in the midst of his pain.
"Just for the record,"
he said.
"Sorry for hitting on you, in case I die tonight."
"You're already dead," said Kalina. "And you're not sorry." She smiled at him. "You just want me to forgive you."
"Maybe I do."
She began cutting the ropes with her knife, careful not to let them touch her flesh.
"I'm sorry. I know this has got to hurt."
"Didn't see it coming," said Jaeger. "But they must have killed Aaron. They must have been behind it all. Life's blood."
Jaeger winced.
"I never thought. Not Octavius. He was a man of honor."
"Honorable enough to turn you and your whole family?" Kalina cut open the last of the ropes. "Honorable enough to make you join his army? To kill millions?"
"It wasn't like that,"
Jaeger said.
He gave us purpose. He gave us a reason to live forever."
He fell forward, free of his ropes. She rushed to him and took him into her arms.
"Are you all right?"
She kissed his cheek.
"Kalina, I need to get out of here."
And then she saw his hand, where there had been a finger. A ring. Preciously sealed with a drop of life's blood inside. There was only a bloody stump.
"The finger will grow back," he said. "But the ring..."
She knew the consequences. A vampire without a ring like that would be a pile of ashes before the sun was high in the sky.
"I wouldn't have let that happen," said Kalina. "They got Aaron. I'm not going to let them get to you, too."
Jaeger raised his eyebrows.
"Are you saying you care for me at last?"
He gave her a mocking grin.
"Can it be?"
"Yes, fine," she said. "I care for you, but don't go getting a big ego about it, okay?"
"Oh, I won't," he said. "I promise. I'll be as humble as ever."
He scrambled towards her.
"But you've got to know something."
He took her hands.
"I care about you, too." You have no idea how much.
With that, he kissed her. This wasn't like the other kisses he had given her, mocking expressions of lust, of power or passion. This was a soft romantic kiss, the fullest expression of his soul upon her lips. She was too stunned to stop him.
"Now,"
he said,
"don't go getting a big ego about it, okay?"
She couldn't help laughing. "Okay," she said. Tears were streaming down her cheeks.
"I thought, you know, I kept thinking, if I died, well, I didn't want you going around thinking I was a no-good vampire jerk."
He tried to lighten the mood.
"Of course, I was a no-good vampire jerk. Always have been. But with you..."
He sighed.
"I guess I've gone soft a little,"
he said quietly.
"I'd almost forgotten how much I could care for anyone."
He kissed her again. His mouth was warm and deep. Against herself, she opened her mouth to his kiss. She stopped him, although her heart begged her to continue. "Not now," she said. "If Stuart's out there, if they've done to him what they did to you, I need to find him. Now. There isn't time." Her heart swelled with fear. The thought of losing Stuart terrified her to her core. How could she explain to Stuart what she felt for Jaeger? Or for Jaeger what she felt for Stuart? Adrenaline coursed through her, but she knew it was not just her fear that prompted it. She loved them both. Chapter 18.
"He's your brother!" Kalina cried. "I don't care what else you're feeling, whether you're mad, jealous, or what. He's your brother, and we have to help him."
Jaeger gave a grim smile.
"I don't know where he is,"
he said.
"I told him to run. I told him I'd fight them off myself. To save himself."
"You did?"
Kalina frowned. "After all that?"
"He's my brother,"
said Jaeger softly.
"And I couldn't have both of us dying. Who would protect you then?"
"Did he run?"
"He refused,"
said Jaeger.
"Stupid boy. He's such a brave boy, my brother. Brave, but stupid. He wanted to fight. He wanted to fight for you."
He laughed.
"I don't think he'd let me take all the credit."
"I looked all through the house," said Kalina. "He's not there. I would have heard him come in when Octavius was in the living room. And he's not in the vineyards either."
"You're right,"
said Jaeger.
"I know my brother all too well. I would have sensed him. We have a connection."
"Even after everything you two have been through?"
"He's my brother,"
said Jaeger, with difficulty.
"And I want him to be happy. And if you love him..."
"Can we stop talking about love for a second?" said Kalina, her face flushed. She had enough to be dealing with without trying to make a choice between the two of them.
Jaeger took her comment as a reproach, and he made a considerable effort to hide the jealousy on his face.
"Of course,"
he said.
"I only meant..."
"Where does Octavius live? Around here?"
Jaeger shook his head.
"In Milan,"
he said.
"In a big palazzo near the Duomo. Nowhere near here. He must have made a special delivery. Just for you."
"Don't you feel special?" "Does he have friends in the area? Associates?"
"He has friends in every area,"
said Jaeger.
"His spies are everywhere, thousands of vampires existing just to do his bidding."
"How did he get in the house? I thought vampires had to be invited."
"Vampires don't need an invitation to another vampire's house. Invitations are needed only in a dwelling occupied by a human. But Octavius and my father were close friends,"
said Jaeger.
"Before my father's death, he visited and stayed with us on vacation. And we always thought him to be an ally." "I couldn't have known. I only started suspecting recently, when we were in Carmel. I found out from one of the Stromboli brothers' waitstaff that some muscle had been poking around the place."
"So Father Botticelli..."
"Had nothing to do with this," said Jaeger. "Octavius has no need of cash, and I doubt a vampire priest would concern him a great deal."
"Have you spoken to Octavius lately?"
"Not for centuries. Not since my brother and I... fell out last century. We lost touch. It was only through Aaron that I began hearing of him again. For Octavius, I knew, was attempting to recruit Aaron for some reason or another."
"I see." Kalina sighed. "Me.
she said, swallowing hard. That was his mission.
You?
To seduce me and take me to Octavius. Only, she shuddered, he fell for me instead. He saved my life, and that's why they killed him, because of me. And now, Stuart, and it's all my fault. He wrapped his arms around her.
It's not your fault, he said. Whatever blood courses in you, it isn't your fault. It is your destiny.
Same thing. He kissed the top of her forehead.
You're special, he said. Believe me, you are. Life's blood or not.
You wouldn't even be attracted to me if it weren't for the life's blood, she said. She wasn't sure if she meant it.
Just like you wouldn't even be attracted to me if it weren't for me being a vampire.
He stroked her cheek.
Supernatural life is complicated.
He touched her hair lightly.
Or maybe it's just really simple. Maybe if we were both human.
His voice trailed up.
Come on. It's almost sunrise. Let's get going.
Why would he take Stuart? Said Kalina, as they walked to the car. It's me he's after.
I believe, said Jaeger stiffly. He was under the impression that Stuart was the one you would choose, were you to have a choice.
The last time she had spoken to Stuart properly, the two of them had been fighting, her mind clouded with jealousy and anger. Had she meant what she said? Her suspicions about Maeve? Her rage about the secret he had kept from her? Or had she meant it when she had kissed him at her threshold, closed her eyes while in his arms, stared with a mixture of terror and arousal at the power he held back so carefully, for fear of hurting her, for fear of consuming her? Stuart is my boyfriend, she said.
Then why did you let me?
I don't know, okay? She turned away from him. It's not easy. The two of you, always around, all this pressure. I don't know what I think.
What do you feel, Kalina?
She could not look him in the eye. How could she tell him what she felt, when she wasn't even sure herself? I feel worried that Stuart is going to be burned to a crisp at sunrise, okay? We have to go find him.
No,
said Jaeger.
It's too dangerous. Believe me, Kalina, I'd follow you anywhere. But that's just where Octavius wants you.
Well, he'd better be careful what he wishes for, then.
Octavius will drink your blood, become invincible. I can't let you...
You can't tell me what I can and can't do, for starters, snapped Kalina. And I'll either go alone or you'll go with me. You tell me. But I can tell you that one of those choices is probably going to get me killed. But the other is definitely going to get me killed. So you pick one.
So you can be with your precious boyfriend?
Jaeger rounded on her.
So you can give him your blood and the two of you can grow human together and old together and make human babies together?
For Christ's sakes, Jaeger, I'm 17. As far as I'm concerned, you can both have the blood. I just want to make sure someone I care about isn't killed. Is that so hard to believe? She softened her tone. In any case, I'd do the same for you, if it were you.
It's not about the blood, said Jaeger softly. It's about you. You're the only woman who can match me.
Her face colored as they got into the car.
I care for you, Kalina, he said. And forgive me for that.
Don't be sorry, she whispered. Please don't be sorry.
Do you love him?
I care deeply for him, she said. But I care for you too. It's different. It's so different with each of you. I don't want to... I can't just pick one of you. My life has been so much richer with you both in it, and I can't say goodbye to either one of you. And I need to make sure you both stay alive. For Aaron, too. Because Aaron would have wanted it this way, and he wouldn't have wanted either of you to get hurt. Family was so important to him. He always used to talk about it. How he wanted a family one day. Her voice trailed off. They got into the car.
For Aaron, said Jaeger. I'll come with you. I'll do whatever you need.
He sighed.
And at the end of the day, or night as it were, he is my brother.
They were silent. Chapter 19. They drove onwards into the night. Jaeger had been making frantic telephone calls throughout the night, calling up favors from all the vampires he knew, many of whom, he explained, were or had been in Octavius's army. He spoke to them as he had always spoken to them, as a member of Octavius's loyal team, and implied that he wished to find Octavius for purely business-related reasons.
"It's dangerous to be an informant," he said to Kalina. "I hope Octavius doesn't find out who told me."
Kalina shuddered. At last, Jaeger slammed his phone shut.
"Drive faster,"
he said.
"We're going to Beverly Hills."
"Beverly Hills?" He shouted an address at her.
"Staying at the house of some film director he turned 2 decades ago. I should have known. Octavius could never resist glitz and glamour. During the Renaissance, he always had the gaudiest doublets, though he did look impressive in them."
Kalina pressed down onto the gas. They drove all through the night, alternating shifts at the wheel. As the time wore on, Kalina found that her strength was beginning to fail her, and when she was given blessed respite in the passenger seat at the front of the car, she found herself beginning to doze off. Despite her worries, despite her fears, she didn't have the energy to remain both awake and afraid. She woke up with a gasp.
"Nightmare?"
Jaeger asked her. They had stopped the car across the street from a large stucco Tuscan villa, surrounded by an electric fence.
"Afraid it's about to get worse. We're here."
"There are so many guards," Kalina said. She had a feeling the burly men scanning the gate with cruel dark eyes weren't her standard-grade security guards. "We'll never get past them."
"We'll have to come back in daytime,"
said Jaeger. "But without the ring..."
"I'll find a way,"
said Jaeger curtly.
"But we've only got an hour until dawn."
He sighed.
"May I suggest we find a hotel?"
"A hotel?"
"It's either that, or you can lock me in the trunk of the car. And I'm really not in the mood to be stuck in a tiny cramped space for who knows how long."
"A hotel sounds fine," said Kalina. Jaeger nodded. They drove up and down the strips of Beverly Hills until they came to a rickety motel with a bright pink painted sign and peeling paint on the walls. "The Sunrise Motel," said Kalina with a wry smile. "Fitting, I guess." They checked in silently, and the proprietress of the establishment gave them a knowing smile. "Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'm sure," she said.
Sure, said Kalina.
"We'll pay cash," Jaeger broke in.
She demanded $100. He threw it down before her in 5 crisp views.
"Room with a view?"
the woman asked, rubbing her eyes.
"No, thank you,"
they said in unison.
"My husband doesn't like the light," Kalina explained. "Hurts his eyes."
"Yeah, sure," said the woman, in a voice that clearly betrayed her disinterest. She threw the key down upon the desk before them.
"Be out by dawn tomorrow. Hear me? And don't go messing up the rooms. We charge extra for cleanup."
Jaeger took her aside on their way to the room.
"I need to go find something to eat. It's almost dawn. And somehow I don't get the sense this place stocks vampire wine."
"Eat," Kalina grimaced. "Like a person?"
"That waitress at the diner where we refueled a few miles back? You were asleep. I think she's a feeder. I can smell it on her."
"That's disgusting."
"Would you rather I take it from someone unwilling?"
Jaeger snapped.
Just be back before sunrise," she said. "You can't be out late. Not without your ring."
"Jealous?"
He forced a grin at her before ducking out, leaving his bag on the room dresser. Kalina sat down and buried her head in her hands. The exhaustion was getting too much for her. At the same time, she found Jaeger's absence something of a relief. Without his powerful presence commanding the room, she had time to think, to reflect, to gather herself. Jaeger needed another ring. That much she knew. She searched through her possessions, trying to find something that would suffice. She tossed aside gum wrappers and loose change until she found what she was looking for. Aaron's class ring. He had given it to her when they had first begun to go steady. It had been a sign of his affection for her. A garnet, the class stone, sat grooved at the base. She pried it off with her nails. Praying the scent of her blood wouldn't be picked up by all the vampires in L.A., she found a stray safety pin in her bag, pricking her finger just enough to let 2 drops of her blood fall into the groove where the stone had been. She then pressed the stone back into place, sticking it with an end of gum. Not quite as elaborate as the gorgeous antique Jaeger had been wearing previously, but it would have to do. Then all that was left was to sit and wait. At last,
Moments before the rosy fingers of sunrise spread out across the sky, Jaeger barged in. He stopped. He sniffed.
"How dare you?"
he bellowed.
"Knowing how I feel. What are you playing at?"
"What?
You've been bleeding. You know what I have to do to control myself. And you just parade your blood around the room."
"Would you keep your voice down?" Kalina locked the door. "It's for your own good."
"What are you talking about?"
Kalina held out the ring. "I made you a ring," she said. "I had to wait until you were gone, in case you pounced." His jaw dropped.
"I see,"
he said. He put out a hand gingerly and slipped the ring onto his ring finger, which had healed.
"Thank you."
His voice was gruff and hard. The tension was still in the air, thick enough to strangle both of them. "You could at least be grateful," she said.
"I am grateful,"
he shouted.
"You don't have to shout at me."
She sat back down. "I'm only helping."
"By rubbing it in?"
"Rubbing what in?"
"Isn't it bad enough?"
he said.
"Knowing the blood that consumes my thoughts all night and all day is going straight to my brother. Watching you go to him. Watching myself lose you. I, who had never lost a woman in my life."
"It isn't like..."
"Watching the woman I care for go to my brother to make him human, to take everything I want, and having to smell that blood?"
"I'm sorry," Kalina shouted. "But if I didn't do it, there's no way we'd make it to Octavius's alive."
"And you'd never save Stuart,"
said Jaeger with a sneer. "Would you just stop it?" Kalina stamped her foot in rage. "You're acting like a child. You think it isn't complicated enough already?"
"What's so complicated about it? You love my brother."
"Jaeger!" She placed a hand on his shoulder. She knew now could be the last chance she'd ever get. "I feel a lot for you, too." She couldn't stop herself. She had been drawn to him from the start, her body craving him ever since she met him. His blood coursing through her made her instinctively pull closer to him. She kissed him, wrapping herself so tightly into him that she couldn't breathe, bowled over by the force of her own passion. He stopped short.
"Kalina."
His eyes burned into hers with unspoken need. He reached out to touch her face so gently, so softly. She had penetrated his last resolve. If it were you in the legend, only if, and not Stuart, would you? Would you become human? You always said..."
"For you."
He held her tightly.
"For you, I swear. Centuries of women, and none of them has ever compared to you."
He pulled her down to the bed. She allowed herself to melt into his arms. Kalina slept curled into his arms until the sun was high over the horizon. Then they woke together. It was time to strike. They tested out Kalina's ring, opening the curtain slowly to make sure Jaeger's skin didn't burn. "How is it?" Kalina asked.
"Not comfy," said Jaeger. "But it'll do."
They drove to Octavius's house. The guards had vanished in the light of day, and there was only the electric fence to contend with.
"Remember,"
said Jaeger, wincing at the sunlight,
"be absolutely silent."
It was far less difficult than they thought to break into the mansion, to climb over the electric fence. Jaeger was able to fly her over, evading the alarms, and into an opened window on the top floor. The house was large and opulent, with enormous windows casting baroque shadows on the floor, filled with gaudy chandeliers and gold inlay on the walls. "Clearly a millionaire's palace," whispered Kalina. They made their way down the corridor, stakes in hand, checking one room, then another for any sign of Stuart. Jaeger raised his head and sniffed.
"This way,"
he said. Together they followed the scent until they came to a small dark room at the end of the corridor.
"Stuart!"
Kalina cried as he opened the door. He was tied to a chair in the middle of the room, bound and gagged. They swiftly untied it.
"No, don't,"
Stuart said, as they removed the gag. But it was too late.
"Nice to see you two again,"
said a voice from behind them, as smooth as satin. Octavia stood in the doorway, flanked by armed guards. On his finger was Jaeger's old ring.
"And of course, my darling Kalina."
"I'm not your darling,"
said Kalina.
Not yet, perhaps, said Octavia, smiling. But soon you will be, and I hope your choice in the matter is gradually becoming clearer. Guards!
The guards rushed at them, and soon Kalina, Stuart, and Jaeger found themselves fending off what felt like a never-ending swarm of vampires. They tried fighting, but were clearly outnumbered. She felt arms close about her shoulders, pinning her arms to her sides, and she stopped.
"Let's stop the resistance, shall we?"
Octavius whispered into her ear.
"You know how it's going to end. Now tell me, which of these two fine brothers will get your blood?"
He laughed.
"Not that it matters."
Kalina pushed him away with all her strength, pulled out a stake, and drove it into his chest. Instead of collapsing to the floor, he only laughed.
"You missed," he said.
"By half an inch, but you missed nonetheless. Feisty, aren't you? I like that fighting spirit, but your technique can be improved. It must have been Stuart who taught you how to fight. Stuart's always been the weaker one."
Stuart glowered, thrusting a stake into another vampire.
"Stand down, men. I will deal with these two rebels myself."
In a flash, he rushed to Stuart and Jaeger, picking them up easily, one with each hand, and throwing them across the room.
"Don't you want to see what a real vampire can do?"
Well over 6 feet 7 inches, he stood towering over them.
"Make your choice now, Kalina, or I shall make it for you, and then neither vampire shall survive."
Chapter 20 Kalina looked from Stuart to Jaeger, and then back at Stuart again. How could she decide? It was too soon. She had already felt, in the week since she had first met Stuart and Jaeger, that she had been running through twin storms, two hurricanes of emotion that had left her drained, left her soaked and exhausted. These two vampires, she owed her life to them. They had both loved her, for they had both loved Aaron, and they had both done their duty to Aaron in protecting her, in giving their lives for her. They had struggled against their temptations, for her blood and her body alike, in order to keep her safe. Coming to love Stuart had been easy. He had been so gentle, so earnest. His honesty underlying that steely strength of self-denial she had seen so often in him. He reminded her of Aaron. Yet he was the version she wished Aaron would have become, had he lived. Had Stuart loved Maeve too? She remembered his gratitude as Stuart had looked up at Maeve following a feeding, but she couldn't help but wonder if she hadn't overreacted, if she hadn't gone too far in her jealousy. Had she been angry, after all, because Maeve was allowed to participate and X denied her, that Stuart had worked so hard to protect her from himself? She didn't agree with what he had done, of course, but as she stared into his deep hazel eyes, she found herself unable to deny that he had meant well, that everything he had done out of love for her. And yet Jaeger! She had despised him when she first met him. Despised his cocksure arrogance and his blithe surety that she would come to love him after all. Had he been right? Their rivalry, their wordplay and fighting had turned slowly into something else. Their passion slowly morphing into grudging respect. And then finally something to like. And after what happened last night... No. She couldn't think about that now. "I can't decide," she said at last. Stuart and Jaeger both looked up at her, dumbstruck. Octavius laughed.
"Young love," he said at last. "So confusing."
Kalina stared. Why was he making her decide? Why was he testing her like this? If all he wanted was to be the most powerful vampire in the world, he could have easily taken her against her will, sucked her blood immediately, without this charade of pretense. But he was trying to see if she loved either of them, to see if her heart was already taken. Why? There was only one answer. He wanted her love. Not for her own sake, but for what was running in her veins.
"You should know, Octavius,"
she said, her voice trembling.
"What about Drusilla?"
"What about Drusilla?"
Octavius said, only a note too harshly. "Weren't you in love with her once? Enough to be betrothed, right? Enough to go back to her, after you'd turned, to try and show her what you were, to see if she would still love you? But she killed herself, to avoid the pain, to avoid the shame. How terrible for you."
"It was necessary,"
said Octavius. And why not take me right away? Why try to court me? Why try to make me decide who I love? To choose? Unless you miss her so much. Unless you despise your vampire self so much. To be with Drusilla again. To be able to feel her arms. Warm. And circling around you. Holding her in your arms. You say vampires don't experience love? But surely, you're the most romantic creatures of all. She knew she wasn't being very clear. But she had to talk it through. Make sense of it. Get to Octavius.
What are you talking about?
Searching for centuries, for a cure to your own condition. A cure that will somehow bring you back to the humanity you've lost. For a woman long since dead.
That has nothing to do with...
Why look for life's blood? The virgin with the magic potion that will make it all right again. Unless...
Silence!
Octavius thundered. Kalina thought harder. It's a pity I'm not the one you're looking for.
Nonsense. Aaron was a winemaker, with the finest nose in all the vampire kingdom. He could smell any blood.
Except when he was drunk on vampire wine. Which he was, most of the time. A small price to pay for keeping his innocence. He leaned into her and inhaled her smell.
Delicious,
he said.
Like no other. Your blood is indeed a rarity.
But is it life's blood? Have you ever smelled a carrier? Do you know what she smells like? She put her hand on her hip. It was now or never. Plus, didn't you say that the carrier is supposed to be a virgin? She looked him up and down, trying to see if he bought it. Stuart and Jaeger were looking at her with something between shock and astonishment. He waved away the guards.
I wish to speak with Miss Kalina alone, said Octavius. Bring her to my room. I will speak to her in private.
She had gotten to him. The last thing he wanted was for her to reveal his desire for humanity before the guards. If he did not drink from her, they would take it as weakness. And if he drank from her, and if she was not a virgin, how could he be sure his chances for humanity wouldn't be dashed? There was only one way to find out for sure. She smiled to herself. She was almost getting good at lying. But would she be able to see the plan through?
Take the Greystone brothers into the basement, said Octavius. I have plans for them.
Epilogue. The guards led Stuart and Jaeger down a dark, dank hallway. All things considered, Jaeger thought, biting his lip. It was probably better than a sunny one. The guards led them to an edge of the basement, where iron cuffs hung welded from the walls. The guards thrust the brothers into the cuffs and left, their footsteps echoing as they walked away.
Well done, said Stuart, when they had gone, his voice dripping with irony. I see you've managed to do what you've always done.
Oh, it was inevitable,
said Jaeger, trying to keep his voice far lighter and more airy than he felt.
I've always been good with women.
Somehow the charade masked his terror.
She's the one, Jaeger, Stuart hissed. You knew I loved her.
Did you?
Jaeger leaned against the wall.
Or did you just love what was in her veins? What kind of a question is that? You heard her yourself. She can't be the carrier. For very... interesting reasons. I am sorry about that, dear brother. But I'm afraid I've rather spoiled your gift. Do you still want her? Now that her love won't make you human again? Because I can promise you. I do.
How dare!
Stuart began, but his voice was cut off by a cry in the dark.
Stuart?
The voice was weak, but they recognized it immediately.
Jaeger, thank God you're here.
Their heads whipped round to the corner, where they could see a figure crouching in the darkness. They spoke in unison.
Aaron?
Pulse continues in Book 2, Life's Blood. This has been Pulse. Written by Kaelin Gao. Narrated by Melissa Moran. Copyright 2010 to 2013 by Kaelin Gao. Production copyright 2014.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.